You know, if you're into the paleo diet, why not take on the appropriate cookware? This is a new find. Julie Ruby is assistant professor of classics at Dartmouth. She researches ancient craft production and the socioeconomic aspects of feasting. Well, this brought her to a very interesting culinary discovery. Cookware from 1700 years before Christ. But no ordinary pot. Professor Ruby, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So this project, you're looking at cooking implements of 3,000 years ago. How did you get into this?
It was an accident. I went to write a dissertation at the University of Cincinnati, and I was asked to take a look at material from about five rooms from Mycenaean Palace, and they happened to be the pantries. So the material there was mostly serving wares, bowls and cups and wine glasses and that kind of thing, for a huge feast. There would have been enough to serve maybe 1,000 people. So the obvious question was what they were eating.
Maybe we need to do a where and when here. First of all, where exactly was this from? It's Mycenaean, but what does that actually mean, the period and the actual location?
The Mycenaean period runs about 1700 to about 1100 BC, so about 3,000 years ago. And where is roughly modern Greece and a chunk of Western Turkey?
And this was a palace that had been excavated?
Yes. It's a palace that was excavated starting in 1939, but mostly in the 1950s and 60s.
So you had these five rooms and they were feeding 1,000 people. This had to be mind-boggling.
It's a jaw-dropping amount of pottery, 3.5 metric tons approximately, stored in boxes in a Greek museum, and much of it had received very little attention.
That's so interesting. You would think that that would have been something to dig into almost immediately to figure out what day-to-day life was like in the palace.
Well, it's a big palace, and it had about 105 rooms. So the service quarters had actually received a lot less attention than the big ceremonial spaces. The other distraction, I shouldn't call it that, it was actually immensely helpful, is that the palace had archives in Linear B, which is the earliest recorded form of Greek, and there were over 1,000 tablets, clay tablets, that were preserved in the fire that led to the palace's destruction.
So this is really fascinating stuff. I'm thinking of that part of the world and things like fruits and olives and that sort of thing. Is there any proof of, you know, a diet that I almost think of as a biblical diet?
That's not too far off. Certainly grains would have been important, and barley and figs seem to have been staples. So the tablets tell us that the rations that are given to slaves are things like barley and figs. People would have eaten lots of beans, and we have remnants of chickpeas and lentils and so on. Remains of lots of different kinds of grains, including barley and wheat and emmer and so on. People probably didn't eat meat on a daily basis. That would have been something you would have eaten for special. Beef or mutton or pork, goat. There's even some evidence for venison, that they were hunting deer. Wine, they certainly drank a lot of wine. The palace had several thousand gallons of wine in storage at the time it was destroyed.
Oh, my.
Bread would have been special. It all had to be ground by hand, and that would have been a lot of work. This is before animal-powered mills were in use. They'd have had fig syrup and honey for sweeteners. They certainly had cheese, and they had a few super special kinds of foods that would have been used only by very elite people under special circumstances. We know that they were importing pomegranates from the Near East. There were pomegranate seeds that showed up on a shipwreck where the ship was bound for the Mycenaeans. We have introductions of new species right about this time. Things like walnut trees start to come into cultivation. There are other foods like sesame. The word sesame is borrowed from the Near East. So sesame probably was special. But we actually have evidence for a pretty wide range of different herbs and spices, things like mint and coriander. Overall, I think if you were an elite Mycenaean, the food was probably pretty good.
It sounds like it. So, okay, you ran into something you had never seen before. What was it?
One of the types of things that I ran into was a series of different types of cooking pots that were a little idiosyncratic. Standard Mycenaean cooking takes place over a hearth, and mostly they just used various cooking jars and tripod cooking pots with little feet. But there were a couple of different kinds of cooking pots in the palace. One of them was called a souvlaki tray in the original publications. And it's a type that most of us, I think, agree was used for cooking meat on skewers. It's essentially a box with three sides, shallow box, and along the two long sides, there are little indentations along the top, and skewers would have been placed across those.
Mm-hmm.
The other was a griddle. These are really distinctive looking implements. They're big disks with perforations halfway through them and a wall around the outside. And the question was, which way goes up? They seem to have been used for baking bread, and Americans tend to publish them with the perforation side up, and the British and the Germans tend to publish them with perforation side down. And my suspicion was that they really needed to go perforation side up. The question was why. So one of my students made a couple of them, and we tried one perforation side up and one perforation side down, and we discovered that bread tended to stick more to the flat side than it did to the perforated side. So we used a good amount of olive oil on both, but we ended up with something a little closer to a nonstick surface when we used the perforation side up.
3,000 years ago, they were trying to get to Teflon. Julie, thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Julie Ruby is assistant professor of classics at Dartmouth. Now, we have our own ancient kebab recipe for you. Take a look at weeknight kofta with allspice and almonds. It's on the website, splendidtable.org.